You know, you see my hand. Well, I'll tell you how this happened. I was riding a bicycle. So, when I fell and went to the hospital, the doctor looked at me and he said, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 67. He said, "How did this happen?" I said, "I was riding a bicycle." He said, "Good for you." He said, "You have a youthful spirit." I said, "With some doses of stupidity." But this is the result. Speaking about youthful spirit, you know, there was a Baha'i in the Holy Land. You may have heard of him. He was from Japan. He was Japanese, Mr. Fujita, Saichiro Fujita. He's passed away. He was about 95 years old when he passed away. But he really had a youthful spirit. And I told him one day, I said, "Fujita, how do you manage to keep this wonderful spirit?" He said, "I look for the youth and I like to be with the youth. And that's how I keep this youthful spirit." And he was always like that. So tonight, I really feel young, despite this. I feel young, I feel happy, I feel grateful to be here with you and have the joy of discussing few things with you. Now, this little book that I have, I took from your library upstairs. It says, Baha'i Youth, a Compilation. This compilation was made in Haifa and published by one of the National Spiritual Assemblies, the National Spiritual Assembly of the United States. And it has many wonderful passages about the youth. I'm sure you must have seen this. Now, I have selected a few passages from this booklet. I would like to begin my presentation by reading these to you. They are extracts from the writings of Shoghi Effendi and from some of the letters of the Universal House of Justice. There aren't too many, so I hope you won't be tired. Even though the Baha'i youth should feel with the condition in which they see their non-Baha'i friends and not indict them for it, they should not let themselves be carried by the wave of world events as they are being carried. Whereas they see before them only a world that is crumbling down, we are also seeing a new world being built up. Whereas they experience the destruction of old institutions that commanded their respect, we are beholding the dawn of a new era with its strict commands and new social bonds. Notice strict commands. Their materialistic outlook shows them the futility of all things, while our faith in a regenerated and spiritualized man makes us look to the future and build for it. To make them follow our ways, we should sympathize with their plight, but should not follow their ways. I'll read that again. To make them follow our ways, we should not sympathize with their plight, but should not follow their ways. We should take our stand on a higher plane of moral and spiritual life, and setting them the true example, urge them up to our level. Young men and women in the faith, this is another passage, must be deep and thoughtful scholars of its teachings, so that they can reach in a way that will convince people that all the problems facing them have a remedy. They must grasp the administration so that they can wisely and efficiently administer the ever-growing affairs of the cause. And they must exemplify the Baha'i way of living. All this is not easy. So you see, Shoghi Effendi knew very well that's a difficult task. What he is expecting of the youth is not easy. All this is not easy, but the guardian is always greatly encouraged to see the spirit animating such young believers as yourself. He has high hopes of what your generation will accomplish. Another one. The youth should become severed. You know that word? Severed, detached. The youth should become severed from all things of the world and filled with the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Arise to spread the message and quicken the hearts. Yet another one. He urges you to make up your minds to do great, great deeds, repeated, great, great deeds for the faith. The condition of the world is steadily growing worse, and your generation must provide the saints, heroes, martyrs, and administrators of future years. There is a line of prophecy here. Shoghi Effendi wrote this in 1951, and he expected the youth to provide martyrs. And in Iran, this indeed did happen. With dedication and willpower, you can rise to great heights. Yet another. Rest assured and persevere, however great the obstacles which you may have to face in the future, or the disappointments which you must necessarily experience. Note the word necessarily, and see how realistic Shoghi Effendi was. He knew there would be difficulties. He knew there would be disappointments. He knew there would be obstacles. Your work will assuredly triumph. And now this one. The highest standards of purity, of integrity, of detachment and sacrifice. You see, he's expecting sacrifice from us. These are not my words. They are words written on behalf of Shoghi Effendi and at his instruction. The sign of God on earth expects the youth to sacrifice, to be detached. He says, purity, of integrity, of detachment and sacrifice must be maintained by the members of your group, in order to enable you to play a decisive part in the spread and consolidation of the faith. He feels, again he says, that the youth in particular must constantly and determinedly strive to exemplify a Baha'i life. In the world around us, we see moral decay, promiscuity, indecency, vulgarity, bad manners. The Baha'i young people must be the opposite of these things, and by their chastity, their uprightness, their decency, their consideration and good manners attract others, old and young, to the faith. The world is tired of words. You could write that in gold. The world is tired of words. It wants example. And it's up to the Baha'i youth to furnish it. Cheer up, I just have two more rather short ones. What can control youth and save it from the pitfalls of the crass materialism of the age is the power of a genuine, constructive, and living faith, such as the one revealed to the world by Baha'u'llah. Divorced from true religion, morals lose their effectiveness and cease to guide and control man's individual and social life. But when true religion is combined with true ethics, then moral progress becomes a possibility and not a mere ideal. Once young people, and that applies to all young people, once young people become convinced of the existence of the soul, they should not need much convincing that material training and material progress are not sufficient. So you see how important it is for us as Baha'i youth to study the writings on the immortality of the soul and its existence, the proofs of the existence of the soul. And that you can find in some answered questions. There are certain chapters which deal with this subject. And then finally, Shoghi Effendi undertook the translation of the Dawnbreakers only after being convinced that its publication will arouse the friends to greater self-sacrifice and a more determined way of teaching. Otherwise, he would not have devoted so much time on it. Reading about the life and activities of those heroic souls is bound to influence our mode of living and of the importance we attach to our services in the cause. Shoghi Effendi therefore hopes that the friends will read, nay rather study, that book and encourage their young people to do that as well. So you see, this is the way Shoghi Effendi wrote about you. I picked up maybe 1/30th, 1/40th of what is in this booklet. Just a few highlights, so that you get an idea of how Shoghi Effendi thought about you and how he wrote about you. You have this great possibility of serving the cause. Now, tonight I'm going to tell you a few things. After my presentation, you should feel free to ask me questions. And if you want to have your mind wander about and think about questions while I'm talking, it's all right. Ask me questions. You will stimulate me by asking me questions. And then we can all share in whatever is the substance of the question and maybe the answer. The House of Justice has written, and I don't need to quote the exact words, but this is the essence of what they have said in their letters to the youth and to the Baha'is of the world. They have said that we are now facing some critical years in the life of the collective life of humanity. As you know, we have the prophecy, the assurance that the political unification of the world will happen by the end of this century, described in our writings as the lesser peace. Do you realize what great changes will come about in the world between now and the end of the century, which is only 14 years away? Now, if I am 67, who is good in mathematics? In 14 years, how old will I be? Huh?
81.
81. I don't know what an 81-year-old can do, if I'm alive. And there are older members of the House of Justice, too. So you see, those of us who are in our 60s can't do much. Those who are in our 50s, maybe. But those of us who are in our 20s, in 14 years from now, we will be in the prime of our lives. We would be the leaders. We would be the administrators. We will be the representatives of the faith. We will have, if I may say so, the destiny of the future of our faith in our hands. From among you may rise some outstanding leaders of the faith, writers of the faith, defenders of the faith. We are approaching an era when we know there will be opposition to the faith. This is written very clearly in our writings. An opposition which Shoghi Effendi says will be fiercer and more insidious than anything that the enemies of the faith have so far produced. We are entering that age, that stage. And we need scholars. We need intellectuals. We need writers. We need thinkers. We need Baha'is who understand the faith, who know what it is all about, who have read the writings, who are steeped in the writings, so that they can defend the faith. so that they can stand in front of big assemblages and talk.